On this Pentecost Sunday, we'll read a couple of verses from the account of Pentecost as it is recorded in the book of Acts, the second chapter of Acts. It's on page 111 in your pew Bibles if you care to follow along as I read the first dozen or so verses. When the day of Pentecost had come, they were all together in one place. And suddenly from heaven there came a sound like the rush of a violent wind, and it filled the entire house where they were sitting. Divided tongues as of fire appeared among them, and a tongue rested on them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit, and they began to speak in other languages as the Spirit gave them ability. Now there were devout Jews from every nation under heaven living in Jerusalem. And at this sound the crowd gathered and was bewildered, because each one heard them speaking in the native language of each. Amazed and astonished, they asked, "Are not all these who are speaking Galileans? And how is it that we hear, each of us in our own native language, Parthians, Medes, Elamites, and residents of Mesopotamia, Judea and Cappadocia, Pontus and Asia, Phrygia and Pamphylia, Egypt and parts of Libya belonging to Cyrene, and visitors from Rome, both Jews and proselytes? In our own languages we hear them speaking about God's deeds of power." All were amazed and perplexed, saying to one another, "What does this mean?" But others sneered and said, "They are filled with new wine." Friends, the grass withers, the flower fades, but the word of our Lord shall stand forever. Let us pray. O God, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, you who are our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. What a significant service of worship we celebrate this morning, the Sunday on which young persons affirm for themselves the promises made on their behalf when they were baptized, is one of my favorite. For many of you adults gathered here, parents, Sunday school teachers, you have changed these kids' diapers, taught them in Sunday school, played with them in vacation Bible school, sang with them in choir, laughed, perhaps cried with them on a retreat or trip. And whereas this day is the culmination of a journey which began last fall, in reality, it's simply a step, a significant one, to be sure, but a step in a process which began when each of these young people were baptized. You see, at their baptism, their parents or guardians made promises on their behalf, and today they make those promises their own. Baptism as an infant and confirmation as a young adult may be separated by time, but they are part of the same journey with God as the central player. Today is also Pentecost, the Sunday on which we celebrate the gift of the coming of the Holy Spirit as it came upon the followers of Jesus who were gathered in Jerusalem. Following Jesus' death, the disciples were confused about what to do, about the future. What next, they wonder, now that Jesus is gone? And it is the experience we now identify as Pentecost, the coming of the Spirit, which answered that "what next" question, as it was the Holy Spirit which provided the direction and the power for the disciples to continue God's mission, which God started in Jesus Christ. You know, followers of Jesus Christ are just that, followers. We are all on a journey, a spiritual voyage of discovery, which is never ending. And in the context of our confirmands, these teenagers who publicly profess their faith today, who have journeyed together during the past year, exploring concepts, discussing ideas, being instructed in the faith and history of the church, learning about God, developing faith statements, these young people who are really just now beginning to discern their place in the world, discovering their identity, the tendency, I suspect, is to look at this day as the end of a journey. I made it through the class. I endured the session examination. I'm going to answer some questions in a few moments and kneel and have a prayer said for me, and I'll be done. But what next? Though this day is immensely important, it's not the end of a journey, but part of a larger spiritual pilgrimage each of us are on. As many in this congregation can attest, the journey of spiritual transformation is an ongoing one with many highs, many lows, much searching for answers, two steps forward, one step back, it seems, sometimes when it comes to matters of the Spirit. What difference does it make, you might ask, to connect with the Spirit of God? Why is it important to invest time and energy in matters of the Spirit? Well, that's where ultimate meaning is found, but more than that, when we choose to seek to live our lives attuned to God's Spirit, when we take seriously God's claim on our lives, it makes a difference for us and for this world in which we live, as we just heard from Reverend Enders. Author Daniel Taylor, in his book, Letters to My Children, tells a story of an experience he had when he was in the sixth grade. He writes, back in the day when teachers taught children to dance in school, any of you remember that? I remember that as elementary school. The teacher would line up all the boys at the door of the classroom to choose their partners. Can you imagine what it must have been like to be one of the girls waiting to be chosen? One girl, Mary, was always chosen last. Because of a childhood illness, one of her arms was drawn up, and she had a bad leg. She wasn't really that pretty. She wasn't really that smart, and she wasn't really that popular. In fact, she was often picked on. One day, the assistant teacher in Dan's class came up to him and said, Dan, the next time we dance, I want you to choose Mary. Dan couldn't believe it. He didn't want to choose Mary. He wanted to dance with Shelley or Doreen or even Linda. But his teacher said, Dan, I think it is what Jesus would do. So on the day of the dance class, Dan at least hoped he would be the last one to pick, but he wasn't. He was first in line, and he shares, the faces of the girls were turning towards me, some of them smiling. I looked at Mary and saw that she was only kind of half-turned towards us. She knew no one would pick her first. Mr. Jenkins said, okay, Dan, pick your partner. I remember feeling very far away. I heard my voice say, I choose Mary. Never was reluctant virtue so rewarded. I still see her face, undimmed in my memory. She lifted her head, and on her face, reddened with pleasure and surprise and embarrassment all at once, was the most genuine look of delight and even pride that I had ever seen before or since. It was so pure that I had to look away because I knew I didn't deserve it. Mary came and took my arm, and as we had been instructed, and she walked beside me, bad leg and all, just like a princess. And me, I felt the presence of God's Spirit. I felt the presence of God's Spirit. I realized in that instant that I had been the one who was chosen. I was humbled and awed and touched. When we choose to live for God, it makes a difference for us and for others. It is true, we may find ourselves misunderstood at times. There may even be people who speak unfairly about us or not truthfully about us. Sometimes we may even be laughed at or made fun of, as some of Dan's classmates later did to him. But it's also in these moments, when we dare to act as Jesus would act, that we feel the presence of God's Spirit, that we feel that we have been touched by God, that we understand what discipleship, what being a follower of Jesus led by the Spirit is all about. What next? That's for you and for me to decide. Let us pray. Oh God, we thank you that you come to us in so many ways, especially that you come to us through your Spirit. We ask that that Spirit might continue to undergird each person gathered here, providing challenge, comfort, reassurance, guidance, power through Jesus our Lord. Amen. Our hymn is number 726. Let's stand and sing together the first two verses.